Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello and welcome to the RTEGA podcast. Mikey Stafford here. We are on the verge of a very different Allianz Football League. So we're going to stick mainly to the big ball code today. So I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Kevin McStay, the Wexford Senior Football Manager, Shane Roach, and by Damian Lawler. How are you all doing, lads?
Hello, Mikey.
Good, Mikey.
Yeah. Delighted to have you all here, especially you, Damien. I used to record the podcast on a Thursday, but that's Damien's supposed day off, so he can never join me. So I've just moved the whole podcast to a Wednesday just so we can get Damien.
I like this. The word supposed is the accurate word there, Mikey.
Yeah. We like to get our money's worth out of you, Damien. Shane, I might come to you first, seeing as you're the man in the field literally these days. How has the, it's a 4-week countdown to the Allianz Football League, a week longer than the hurlers at least, but a hell of a lot shorter term than an intercounty manager would be used to, unless it's his first season as an intercounty manager, in which case you don't know what you should be used to. So maybe it's a blessing to be in your first year in charge.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss. Four weeks of a running, I suppose the key to the whole thing is talking to the S&C about load and session planning and management of the players, and obviously key to get the work done, but obviously to stay as injury free as possible.
Yeah. How has it been for you? Because you know, obviously you kind of took over on short notice last year in unusual circumstances when Paul Galvin kind of couldn't commit to the travel, etc. And then short finish to the league, and then a very short championship, you know, going out to Wicklow. It must be kind of, you haven't had a normal introduction to intercounty management, it's fair to say.
No, I most certainly haven't, but the only thing about it is at least this has been run off in glorious sunshine down here in Wexford compared to what we were exposed to last year in the interim period of 2 days against Wicklow and complete washout. So it's great. Look, it's not ideal, as we say, but we're just delighted to be getting back out there on the pitch. We're training in Ferns, and it's absolutely glorious up there. We're the only team up there. On any given night, the hurlers go the opposite nights, and we have as many pitches as we need, and we can just get out, move the ball, and prepare for whatever comes down the line.
Yeah, as a Wexford man living in Wicklow, these are glorious times for me. I just keep getting, kind of derby matches where I supposedly can't lose, even though I really don't care whether Wicklow win or lose a game of GA yet. I'm not here long enough, but it's a little bit of a quirk, really, isn't it? To you'll have your league matches, but in two championships, the only team you've faced is Wicklow. Fingers crossed you beat them and get a run at the Dubs, isn't it? So, it gets easier and easier.
Yeah. No, we won't be looking any further than Wicklow. We played them. I've played Davy Burke and Wicklow twice now in the interim period, and they're 2-0. So it's something hopefully that we can maybe rectify and get a win, and then look, go on from there. But up in Ockram is not going to be easy, and at the minute they really have the Indian sign over us.
Yeah. Any challenge matches, Shane? Did you manage to squeeze one in the week and a half?
we had a plan for a plan for a plan, and we were due to play two teams early last week, but obviously we had cancelled them due to the government guidelines, and then obviously when they released them on Wednesday to say that we're allowed, they were obviously cancelled at that time, and we're due to have a game this Saturday, but that's been pulled as well. The team were to play. Had an in-house game last week and picked up a number of knocks, and probably for us as well, looking at our squad and like hamstring strains, it's nearly too risky. If you go off and you picked up another two or three strains 6 days away from your first game, a tough game against Waterford, it could put us back a bit. But It's the tightness of the calendar that's the key. Like a normal hamstring strain, you probably wouldn't bat an eyelid in the normal calendar, but 2 weeks is a long time in this window.
Oh, absolutely. Damien, the one of the the challenge matches thing is obviously you reported on this last week, how quickly that was changed. You know, the GAA are kind of flying by the seat of their pants a little bit here with government regulations and stuff, and kind of the kind of uniqueness of this league is kind of shown up by the division that Shane and Wexford find themselves in, Division 4 South, which is a three team league with Waterford and Carlow. I said here a couple of weeks ago, wouldn't it be, this is the perfect opportunity to get the Kilkenny footballers back on stream, at least just give them a few games. But, you know, it is kind of, it's unfair to say it's the back of a fag box kind of situation, but it is kind of just a means to an end. With Geezer said it, he had a great line today on the website saying that Division 1 North of the Allianz Football League is looking a little bit incestuous. it's all a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, like, I mean, it is a little different. I mean, the Division 1 North that Geezer talks about is just like a mini Ulster derby rivalry kind of a thing. But going back to the challenge matches there, Camogie Association announced yesterday their split season model, and I heard of about 20 challenge matches that were coming online straight away. So I think counties were ready. And a bit like Shane there, I've been dealing with inter-county managers at senior under 17 and under 20 for the past year, Mikey. And they're all just craving one thing, and that's information. And information, because of the changing circumstances with public health, the information has been all over the place. It either hasn't arrived or it's evolving the whole time or changing the whole time. And I think, you know, even last week, when the roadmap was out there, I thought we were over the hump in terms of work. And then, all these regulations, I was talking to the government department sport press advisor. He told me May the 10th was the day for challenge matches. A few hours later, then we got the inter-county managers have a WhatsApp group. And Shane will probably be on that. And one of the managers put in, we're good to go from tonight from challenge matches. And they're all checking. Then a load of them were checking with me. Was that the case? And I said, the most recent information I have is from the government. That's May the 10th. But within 10 minutes, we got a confirmation from the GAA that challenge matches could go ahead that night. So that's how quickly the situation changed, Mikey. But it's been like that. It's been like that for months now. You'd either have no movement at all or three movements in one day. And it's been very, very hard to keep up with it. From Shane's perspective, obviously London aren't able to play this one. And Michael Maher is very disappointed over that. But you have to, I suppose, think it's practical that they're not involved. But yeah, I think from Shane's perspective, I would imagine, Shane, without putting words in your mouth, just games is all you want to see who you have and try out maybe a few of the under 20 players. Because I was with Tip Under 20s a few years ago. We played Wexford in a couple of challenge matches. And particularly with the Wexford forwards of that time, I felt with some Reichert footballers coming through. So I'd imagine you just want to see them out in games and see how they perform under pressure. Because really and truly, challenge matches will bring you up to the tempo of the league. But yeah, it's just all a bit different. And I hope we don't have to go through this again, to be fair.
Yeah. How about that, Shane? It must be disappointing, because for a Division 4 team, you know, the league is not to say it's your be all and end all, but it's your best chance of competitive matches, a run of them. And, you know, best chance of, you know, promotion would be probably the aim for a Wexford football manager at the moment. Realistically, you're not going to win a Leinster championship. So to have only two games, to have a bye week in the first week, it is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And Damien's right. We have a kind of a nice blend of youth coming through, and we'd work closely with David Murphy, who's the under 20 manager, and he would we'd call him for some players to come in for in-house games as well. And you know, just to get games into this youthful panel would be the key to see where we're at, and obviously this week we're the only team in the country that has a bye week. So I've been kind of contacting some of the stronger counties with a larger panel that may have, you know, 15, 18 players, an extended panel, would they be in a position to play? But obviously they've picked up some niggles as well. And obviously their panels have gotten a little bit tighter. So two games that I was hoping for this week have both fallen through. So we're just going to have to go at it again ourselves in Wexford Park in an in-house game. And then obviously like face into Waterford, who've had, we'll have a very competitive game against Carlow the following Saturday, probably unknown and untested, but that's the fear. It's the complete unknown of obviously our starting team and our subs and our extended panel and who's going to be involved.
Yeah. Kevin listening to this, I'd say you're fairly glad you've jumped off the inter-county management merry-go-round for a year or two and have gone into punditry, huh?
Yeah, it's a bit more straightforward, the old punditry, all right. It's interesting, isn't it, that our best competition by a mile, which is the leagues, for all the reasons we know, and especially the one that you've just mentioned there, Mikey, that Shane's best opportunity would normally be in the league. And here we are with a league like no other now, where essentially you have four games, the three regular ones, and then the playoff one, whichever whether you're going up or you're going down. And how do you approach that now? No matter what division you're in, do you use it as warm up games for the championship, for your Wicklow match, for instance, Shane? Or do you say, no, I have to position myself properly for next year, because, as you know, in August, we're going to debate a new championship. Now, the good news is the 2022 league will decide your seedings for this new championship, whichever way it goes. And that's important to note. But this year is still critically important. You don't want to be falling down a division before a new championship is voted on in August. So it's a balancing act. And I saw one very peculiar. I came across it online, and I'll share this with you. I thought this was crazy, that we have a league for which one team, and I think it's Donegal, cannot win it. Did you notice that?
No.
Because they're playing the prelim against a team that's not in their division.
Okay.
As in Down.
Yeah.
I didn't dream this up. I just bumped upon it. Now, how about a league that you can't win? There's a fair one. And I think it's correct. I was racking my brain to see had he stumbled upon something. I think he has. I think he's correct. Damien, you might know a bit more about it than me, but I think on the surface, it looks like it is correct. So it's the weirdest of leagues, even though we're just thrilled. I'm going down to watch Mayo against Down for GAA Go on Saturday. We're just thrilled to get in the car, get out, cross the county boundary and get off and watch a football match. But it is a weird league. It's so short and truncated, and then it really leads right into the championship. Mm. So I go back to my original point. Are these really good challenge matches, or is there something at stake here?
Shane, what would be the Wexford answer to that question?
Like for us, you know, it's pretty obvious that league is key, and we aim over the next number of years to be playing at a higher brand of football for the guys that are coming up through the squad, and like that is the league is the key. And obviously last year we beat Limerick away to put ourselves in the right opportunity to get up to Division 3, but Wicklow beat us on the last day. So that was very disappointing. So realistically for us, we are just really looking forward to next Saturday against Waterford, then Carlow, hopefully putting ourselves in the league semi-final and then taking it from there. But like we know, obviously with Waterford last year, we beat them by a point, and Carlow over the last number of years have been very strong, and they've played Division 3 football. So it's going to be very, very competitive, and obviously local derby, there'll be no love lost between a lot of us, so it's very exciting. And you know, it's an awful pity, obviously crowds in Wexford Park, there might be that many want to get into it, but at least it would create a nice local atmosphere.
Damien, is it amplifying kind of the kind of traditional, maybe lazy logic of the league on a normal year, that Division 2, 3 and 4, it matters a hell of a lot, possibly more than championship, but Division 1, maybe it is a little bit more like what we consider the hurling league to be, like a tune-up for the championship. Is it the same this year, or do you think the quirks of the shorter run-ins, etc., make it a little bit different?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting point, Mikey, because Mickey Hart a few years ago maintained that to be real All-Ireland contenders, you had to be in Division 1. And I think that, you know, Shane is on the ball there. Like, in terms of real progress for Wexford, in my opinion, would be going up through the leagues. And if you can tie in a good championship run or a good qualifier run there along the way over the couple of seasons, that's brilliant as well. But real progress is going up through the leagues. And I know from a Tipperary perspective, getting out of Division 3 is a big one for Tip this year. I know know they obviously won Munster last year, but real progress will be getting up through the divisions. And I think that when the Tailteann Cup does come into play, Mikey, you know, do you want to be, we had a taster with the soccer, what the breakaway elite league was going to be perceived, how it was going to be perceived by the public. You know, people argue that a tiered system is needed in Gaelic football, like it's there in hurling. Some people agree with that, others don't. But, you know, the league will determine your placings there. You know, are your top two divisions or bottom two? And certainly for any county that wants to be seen as top 10, 12 contenders, getting up through the leagues is so important. But I've experienced, of all the leagues as a journalist, and I spent 2009, Mikey, with Waterford in Division 4. I wrote a book about it. And I know how hard Division 4 is to get out of. Never mind getting into Division 3. Division 4 is a slugfest. I mean, some of the tightest, most intense tactical battles are down there. And you might only win by one game. Any team, London included, on their day is capable of overturning it. And you've had some right big guns down there in recent years. So I think if you're doing, Kevin's right, it's the best competition we have. It's definitely the best for divisions 2, 3, and 4, because that gives them a tangible goal. And it's a real benchmark to measure yourself against. Whereas up in Division 1, I think everything is better resourced, more players, probably, you know, more backing, possibly greater fitness levels, and maybe greater talent pool as well. And they can look ahead to championship honours, but realistically, not many outside of that can.
Yeah, Kevin, you've experienced it, obviously. I think you've got a bit of experience of probably the top two divisions. Ever Division 3? Yeah. Did you ever lower yourself to Division 3?
I think as a player I was. I can't remember for sure, but you know, there was Norths and Souths back in my time as well. But think so. I might have tipped into Division 3 at some stage with Mayo.
You'd probably agree then from a manager's perspective, if, you know, Mayo, it's an unusual little trip down to Division 2. Like, they'd obviously be keen to get back up there. Like, the Mickey Hart adage of, you know, you have to be Division 1.
Mayo might change that adage. Could.
Absolutely.
But there will, obviously, the main aim, I think, for Division 2 teams this year is not to get relegated, for the love of God. But then but obviously getting back up to Division 1. So Mayo down, Meath, West Meath, you know, is very interesting. And then Cork, Kildare, Clare and Leash. You got two interesting little mini groups there, haven't you?
Well, imagine if there were all eight of them together. I mean, they were having a full shot at it. And I had that experience with Roscommon when Tip, actually, Damien, were a big threat to us. And Cork and Clare and Meath. And trying to get out of Division 2, especially when we were kind of just, I don't like the term yo-yo, but when we were top 7, 8, 9, some number like that, take your pick, and you're really cracking to get out of Division 2. It's really difficult. And then the prize is, oh my God, you're up in Division 1, and trying to hang on in Division 1 becomes the same. But the whole idea is to get up to higher divisions. I might slightly disagree with you, Damien, about the role of the Tailteann Cup and getting a kind of a taste of it with the soccer. Bear in mind that Super League, you couldn't get into it. you couldn't get out of it. So the Tailteann and the leagues offer stepping stones, you know, depending on how good you are. Ultimately, you progress in the GA if you're good enough. And I think that's one of the great attractions of it. You'll go up the leagues, Shane's team will go up the league if they're good enough. And if they're losing to Waterford or they're losing to Wicklow, etc., well, then they won't be togging. They'll stay where, you know, that one, the league doesn't lie. And that tends to be fairly true. Now, it might lie when there's only four teams in the groups this year. But normally, when there's eight in it, it is a great competition. Division 2 this year looks very tight as well. You know, Mayo on paper look the team plus one, whoever else is going to go with them. That may not pan out that way because it's very tricky. And another thing to just throw into the mix is, remember, four key teams have essentially lost home advantage and are now at most playing one league match at home, if any. I don't know if they're playing any at home, but they've certainly been penalised or sanctioned. And that means if you have two home games out of three, it does improve it. And I know you're going to say there's no crowds at them, but Shane's team is more used to playing in Wexford Park than my team or whatever team I'm in charge of. So they do have that home advantage still. They might not have the crowd part of it. But you have two matches at home now out of your three. It is definitely giving you a leg up. And so those four teams, who are the Down, Cork, Monaghan and Dublin.
Monaghan,
so, yeah. Monaghan. I forgot Monaghan there for a second. They're definitely at a disadvantage, in my opinion. But the big idea with the leagues has always been about progression. And our leagues were so, so good. You couldn't really use them as a view to the championship unless you were a very established team. No, say a team that's in the top four, they can blood a few fellas. But generally speaking, the top division two teams and three teams, there isn't much room for maneuver down there in terms of experimentation. Yeah.
Shane, it'd be interesting to get your point. Going back to your playing days, you've definitely played in Division 3, Division 4. Did you ever play in Division 2?
We did get to in Division 2 in 2009.
Yeah. Now, as we've discussed, there's no questioning the competitiveness of Division 4. But from a player's perspective, what are the noticeable differences when you do move up in the divisions, and like how that stands to you as a development of a team?
Yeah, like in fairness, Division 4, I think Damien, you just said it, like it really is, there's going to be very little between everyone. You know, the Division 4 North is Leitrim, Louth, Antrim and Sligo. You know, which will be, but like Sligo and Antrim beat us last year, and then Leitrim and Louth are both down from Division 3. And then obviously we beat Waterford last year by a point. And I think we beat Carlow at home by 4, but they're going to have home advantage there as well. So, like, it's going to be very little, and it's really the teams that have got out of it over the last number of years have been the ones that obviously there was a couple of times where there was teams that were relegated from Division 3 that were very, very strong. Like the Derrys got out quite easily. I think Roscommon a number of years got out very easy as well. But it really is going to come down to those. The moments of a 1 point win either way. And with Division 3, it really then is going to be what we would say the real structure of a team, and the coaching is going to be the key. But Division 4 is going to be all about like intensity and the team that's really wanting to get out of this division the most. If you don't fancy this division and you're kind of thinking your football gets you out of it, that's, you're going to be in it for another year. Like where Division 3, like it really is going to be a good bit more football based, but down in Division 4, it really is a war zone.
That's kind of the impression you get. All right, that it's there's fur and feathers and all sorts flying, and it's as you say, they tend to be. You don't get too many blowouts. Obviously, it's quite level there, and you tend to get kind of 1 point, 2 point games a lot of the time. And a lot of comebacks in second half last year, from what I remember, especially in the last two games, there was a lot of drama down there. And you get to watch it on GA Go now as well, of course.
Kevin is right, like about home advantage. We're at home to Waterford, so realistically, like we would just tell the guys eat at home and come in an hour and a half before throwing. But then we've an hour up the road to Carlow. Pre-match meal, is it carried in, you know, the catering company? Where do we set up? Like all those little things that normally would be just stopping hotel here or there, you know, it can make a massive, massive difference. For the teams that have lost home advantage, you know, they're going to be at a massive disadvantage.
Yeah, and what are you doing there, Shane? Do you know yet? Have you got answers to that?
What we did last year against Limerick is we stopped in Tip and we brought in our catering company had sent off a pack of salad food with us that we ate on just outside Tip Town, and then we drove on down to the Centre of Excellence down Limerick. So we'd probably do.
Jesus, Shane, you wouldn't even throw a few bob into the Tip economy when you're down there.
we stopped for enough coffees anyway, and on the way home, so yeah, we'll keep you afloat.
There was a time you used to stop for pints on the way home from these National League matches.
I tell you, we beat Limerick last year, and on the way home, Adair was looking quite. It was Adair on a sunny evening. I was looking like we could all just stop there now and on my home on the Monday.
Of course, the Summer League as well, lads. We forgot to mention that, or maybe it was mentioned, but it is also a Summer League, so the weather should be a lot better.
Yeah, well, Shane mentioned their two games against Wicklow last year were played in the most horrendous of autumn/winter weather you could imagine. So, yeah, that'll be a change at least. We'll move on to what has got hurling folk exercised this week, Damien, is the new advantage rule, which kind of flew under the radar a little bit, I think, because obviously the sin bin and the cynical play was kind of stealing the headlines. And but as we always say here, it's often the rule change or the little tweak you haven't really thought about that actually causes the biggest problems. Do you think, Damien, that this is going to be complained about as much after this weekend by football folk as it was by hurling folk?
Yeah, you're right, Mikey. We were at a media briefing with Donald Smith about maybe a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago now, and it was barely even mentioned. You know, we were all on about black cards and sin bins for hurling and all that. And of course, there's a hurling snobbery as well, and I'd be part of it too, that you feel it's a man's game, get on with it. But there's no cynicism whatsoever. But there is, like, and it's probably become more prevalent in recent times. But I think it was always about letting the play flow. And, you know, you had 5 seconds to show you were going to do something about that. That was tweaked then this year, Mikey. And I think Donald did predict that the referees would be blowing a lot more this time around. And that proved to be the case. And I was at the Tip Limerick game at the weekend working. And I think Jason Ford, I don't know what he got. He nearly all frees anyway.
I think it's 11, was it?
I think Jason got it. Yeah, I think he got 14 points and 11 from a place ball. And I came out of there afterwards saying, you know, there were way too many frees in that game. And a very, very stop start. And I think there's a couple of things they have to look at in hurling anyway, but sometimes the change is too regular in the GAA. They've been accused over the years of not changing enough, but from my perspective in the last few years, they've nearly changed things too much. So I think you'll see after round one of the Football League, you'll know immediately where you stand with the advantage rule. But I did text somebody who's kind of in the know about the rules over the weekend, and I was kind of saying, apart from the advantage rule, not too bad, really, because I thought it would be a huge fuss in terms of cynicism inside the 20-metre arc. But he did say, we've got a couple of things to work on. I would imagine that playing the advantage rule is one of those, Mikey. And just reading between the lines, they won't be, if they feel that's going to be a blight on the game, you know, if it's a trial rule, you know, I think management committee have the power technically to overrule that, but it's going to have to go all that way to get that change. So we'll know after round one. Certainly stop start games, nobody wants them whatsoever, and it's more obvious in hurling, so maybe not as much in football in terms of the flow of play.
Yeah, Kevin, how do you see it manifesting in football?
Well, I watched the hurling last weekend. I was stunned by the amount of whistle blowing when lads looked like they were going to move on and execute. Very interesting, Damien, that you would say that last week the cynical foul rule, some of the refs' feedback was, well, that seemed to go very well. Well, wait till you're just inside the 20-metre line and you're over at the sideline and a fella pulls you down and there's a penalty. We'll see how well it goes then. when you have the Gaelic football managers screaming for that. Now, that's an area I'm amazed that they've left in it, but they have, technically. So if I sell you a dummy on the sideline, Mikey, and I have an immediate two-on-one, or I can develop an overlap, and you pull me down or hand-trip me or whatever you do, it's a penalty, and and off you trot on your black card. I noticed the hurlers don't like the colour black. They've insisted on staying yellow. even though we're supposed to be the same association, I don't know.
Negative connotations.
Indeed.
But Kevin, that 20-meter arc was always going to rise.
The arc; it's the line, Damien. It's the inside the 20-meter line. So
as opposed over to the penalty area.
Pardon me, Mikey.
As opposed to straight in front of the goal area.
It's everything inside the 20 plus the arc. Jeez, that's a lot of real estate.
What we gained from that meeting last week, though, was that so much of this, Kevin, was going to be left down to the interpretation of the referee on the day, and was there going to be a clear goal?
Sure, that's a recipe for inconsistency. Yeah, immediately.
So that's what I'm saying. You're going to need 2 or 3 weeks to get a consensus, because you know the foul that you described. Technically, you're correct, but will that be deemed a clear goal scoring opportunity by the referee at that side of the pitch? I don't know, but again, look at. The point remains, it's down to an individual on the day. no two individuals will have the same opinion on this. So it will lead to confusion. There's no doubt about it.
It's a clunky, at its best, it's a clunky rule, as is the amendment to the advantage. Yeah, that's, I think, what you asked me, yeah. Mikey, my opinion on that. The advantage now is, have you time and space, or is it a goal-scoring opportunity? If you just take the Limerick one, which I think most of us will remember, the hurling one last weekend, well, obviously, it wasn't a goal-scoring opportunity, so that's fair enough. But he had loads of time and space, as he showed us well, because didn't he puck it over the bar, is my memory. And then they called it back for a free that they actually missed. So kind of go figure that one now, that's an advantage. You bring a fella back to take a free that he puts wide. But I've always thought of the advantage. And again, it goes back to us as a kind of a tribal organization, that the advantage rule... as you see it when you're watching professional rugby, where the advantage is played through and through and through. Now, I'm not suggesting we'd play through for 15 phases or anything like that. It's a different game, but it certainly is played through. You could certainly let Shane tear off down and goal and see, does he put it in the back of the net? And if he puts it wide, just call him back to where the advantage occurred initially. That's a very simple advantage rule to execute for any referee. And the one they've come up with now just seems to be heaping it, more difficulty on them. So I don't know why we would not go, but I remember Colin O'Rourke at the time kind of giving off that, you go through, the hand goes up, you kick it wide, and now you get another opportunity when he brings it back. Yeah, so isn't that what advantage
that's
means?
That's the advantage.
That's what advantage is. So that's, I think it's a matter of, we hate to seem to ape any other game. We want a rule that's completely unique to ourselves. But in doing so, we tend to strangle ourselves with the complexity of them.
Is it something you've been dealing with in training, Shane, or have been rushing to deal with in training now after seeing the reaction in the hurling?
Yeah, it's like what the two lads have said there. It is down to interpretation. So if we played last week an in-house game and we had a Wexford official in to referee it, and we on the sideline, myself, Anthony, and Philip are judging, is it, as coaches, it's very difficult to kind of coach what is being required, because we do know on the day it's going to be down to interpretation. And we'd see down in Division 4 that will fluctuate a lot, obviously, from week to week, and so that's the concern. We can try and make the players aware of it, but then we really don't know ourselves either.
Yeah,
I heard a story of like that, Shane, an in-house referee, and everything was going lovely, everything was fine, and I think at halftime he just said to one of the he got the manager and one of the players to deliberately do one of these fouls in the second half, just about a meter inside the D. So a long way from the goal, and a guy pulled a fella. He obviously they had punched it. Well, there was consternation. There was a penalty awarded, a black card, and the two teams put arms over it, because it just was psyche that this would be the sanction. Jeez, all of a sudden it's a penalty and a guy and a black card. And it was so far away. Like if you've 20 meters and that arc is 13 meters, like you're 30. 3-2 meters away from the, and all of a sudden it's 10 minutes in Ireland final, and you have to make your interpretation. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, it is a little bit tricky. And Shane, are there any more challenges you've met now in terms of just kind of the short run in, the lack of challenge games, kind of catering, those questions? Between the short run-in and the fact that we're still in a pandemic, things might be easing, but there's still a hell of a lot of restrictions on how we live our lives. And just curious, like, what's the setup in Ferns now? Are you using the dressing rooms, or have you set up marquees like the Kerry Hurlers did last year, or the Kilkenny Hurlers did? How are you dealing with things like that on a practical basis, like at 3 or 4 nights a week?
Yeah, we're blessed because Ferns, and in fairness to Seamus up in Ferns, he has it absolutely. We have the run of the place, and as I said, ourselves and the hurlers go on opposite nights due to the size of our panel. So we have 4 dressing rooms, and we divide them into pods of 8 or pods of 9, And we'd have everything spaced out, socially distant. But the one for me is player welfare. That is the key. That's like we went to a game near the end of training. You're worried about fatigue, and you're watching it nearly with your hand over your eyes, thinking, can anyone, you know, strain a hamstring? Can anyone do, you know, get a knock that will literally put them out of potentially Waterford and Carlow? Like, and that's the thing. I probably never spoke to my S&C coach as much as I have now, going, is this RPE enough? Are we going to be ready? But are we going to be safe that we will have everyone available? So that's the key. And everything
Shane, Mikey, would you mind if I just threw in something at Shane there?
God, just fire ahead.
It works grand with your last question to me and the question to Shane. One was about rules, and the other one was you're talking about load and what they can take in training and showing signs of strain. I read during the week, I don't know, is it a rule change or a protocol? Again, maybe Damien, you might know, where they're going to allow 7 substitutions, but you have 5 occasions only to get the 7 out.
Mm.
Now, all of a sudden, that changes your dynamic dramatically, Shane, in terms of options. If you have a panel that stretches, if you've 7 or 8 really good subs, like perhaps the top counties do, but in terms of rest, in terms of momentum, trying to change momentum, trying to inject fresh legs, and of course, feeding back into what you were talking about, player welfare, and well, early on in the season, how fit are they, what loads can they take, etc. So it's like 7 is nearly half a team. It's a lot of bodies. Isn't it half the outfield? Lads, so you're going to have to start thinking about that as well, obviously, I imagine.
Yeah, like that's the key, and it really then comes back down to the challenge games and the kind of judging, obviously, like anything, who comes on, when, where. Normally, you know, a lot of teams, they get to 50 minutes, the 10 and 12 come off and replacing them, and that's nearly a given for all counties. But now, obviously, with it week on week, and kind of not overly sure where everyone is, it really is going to be have to be well judged.
And good for panel morale as well, is one of the things I would remember from my days, when you're limited to 3 back in the day, but then it went up to 4 and 5, that the more people you get involved in the league and can give a bit of game time and minutes to, but then the game becomes very fractured, and so you have to be careful of that too.
Throw in the water breaks as well, and you're getting a lot
Are they still in there?
They're still in, yeah. I saw a very interesting one. I won't mention the player. You're right, Kevin. It does give another half of the team a chance. However, you only have 5 occasions to bring the subs on. And I saw a chap warming up in front of me last weekend, and he kept giving the management daggers because he was warming for about 20 minutes. But he didn't realise it. I copped it. The tip it on, giving away the county.
The Pete Finnerty warm up.
Yeah, tip it already used the 5 intervals to bring the sub on. So he was warming up, but couldn't have been brought on.
Oh, yes,
I mean.
Yes.
And he kept looking over at the management saying, why won't you use me? You know, the Muir Ferner one was one I copped as well.
He's gone, isn't he?
Yeah, he's gone. And there was occasions last week when both teams were trying to suss each other out after the first water break, like in terms of tip, do you press up in Limerick or do you sit back? And they got caught a couple of times. And that's massive
now for you, Shane, as well. You've no more furnace. I mean, that's now get the messages out. Tricky.
That is one, and you're talking about momentum of a game and trying to get a message out that, you know, we need to A, win the breaking ball, we need to do a different kick out, we need to change it up. It's going to be that's the one that probably would have I'd find the most, like Philip Wallace was my Muir Ferner last year, and he's, you know, a very good influence, and to be able to, well, what do you think, go out, and he'd have a good way with the players as well, so to go out and get the very best out of them in a break and play. Now we struggled with that. Phil, we used to just send Phil out whenever there was an opportunity, so maybe that's the reason why it's been stopped.
Did he win any kickouts when he was out there? That might have been the problem.
If you saw him going onto the field, there was no ball going to be kicked near him anyway.
blocking off space. Look, lad, I think in this short conversation, I think we've pointed out that it's going to be an interesting league for a lot of reasons. The results may not be the most important for some counties, for others it'll be very important, but the fact that we're dealing with a lot of change, we're dealing with salads on buses, we're dealing with no more fairness, it's going to be different, it's going to be very interesting, and we wish you the best of luck, Shane, and thank you.
Best of luck, Shane, yeah, have a good season.
Best of luck, best luck, Shane.
And thank you to Damien and to Kevin, and now I'm going to catch up with Kilkenny Camogie star Katie Power at the head of the start of the Camogie League on what has been a very eventful pre-season for the Camogie inter-county players.
He hits it, it's over the bar!
Okay, Katie, how are you doing? Thanks very much for chatting to us, obviously, on the occasion of the launch of the Littlewoods National League. First and most importantly, are you fit and firing and ready to go for the weekend?
Personally, no. Be another few weeks off yet, but look, getting there slowly. Obviously, it's a slow injury with a bone. Obviously, it's not going to be fairly quick, but look, I'm getting there and happy with progress to date, so... You know, like I'll be looking forward to the summer anyway, so hopefully I'll get back on the field with the girls.
Yeah, you mightn't see action during the league at all then, no?
It depends on how far Kilkenny get as well. So there's only two league or group games, let's say. So obviously they'll come way too quick. And the semi final is penciled in, I think, for around the start or the middle of June. Mm-hmm. So that's another month from now. So look, another 4 to 6 weeks should bring me a long way. But again, like you'd be dependent on the small bit of luck and for things to stay progressing the way they are, obviously with serious injuries, you know yourself now, they can come weeks that, you know, you might need to take a step back. But I've given myself no date, or the physio or the management haven't given me a date, because I don't want to have to reach that date and not be right either. I want to be as right as I can, please God, come championship. So
absolutely, because obviously, you know, last year was very strange for everybody, but you know, the championship did get played off at the back end of the year, and Kilkenny did win the All-Ireland, but you obviously were sidelined. How tough was that?
Look, it was extremely tough, and I'm not going to ever say it wasn't, you know, I'm not going to lie about that. It was mixed emotions, because you know you're still so heavily involved in the group, and I suppose the group had been through the ringer the couple of years previous, so it was great for the actual group itself to get over the line. But you know, nothing beats being out there with them, and as happy and as proud as I was for the girls, you know, obviously I wanted to be out there playing. It was extremely tough few months now, I have to say. But look, as I said to the lads earlier on, you know, that tough period is behind me now, so you know, the evenings are brighter, you know, I'm back doing a bit of running, like, so you know, things are improving slightly. And you know, even you know, when things were really tough back then, I always just tried to keep myself going, just say, look, things can never get that bad again. I can't have a worse year than I did last year. So for Kilkenny Camogie, it was a fantastic year. For Katie Power, it probably wasn't as good.
No, that's fair to say. I think you're right. I think we're all looking at no year can be as bad as 2020. I think I think that's everybody's hope, at least going forward. To matters of the last week or so, the cynic in me might say that there was a small number of club, a small fraction of a majority voted in favour of the split season, and that's what we now have after the Camogie Association voting to play league, club, and then championship. Yeah, as I said, the cynic in me would say that there's not a chance too many Kilkenny clubs would have voted in favour of it, because dual players aren't really, don't really exist down your neck of the woods. So would it be fair to say that you and most Kilkenny players and clubs would have been happy, enough with the original plan from the Camogie Association?
Look, to be honest, we didn't really mind either way. We just wanted to be back playing. In the fact that, yeah, like it did come up in our conversations that it was obviously different for Kilkenny because we didn't have that dual player aspect. But, you know, it wasn't just about Kilkenny. Like it was about the whole Camogie as a whole. So, you know, we were just happy. We're happy to get back. And, you know, at the start of the National League, we just wanted everything to be positive. And thankfully now, today is Wednesday, you know, things are completely cleared up. The games are going ahead the weekend. And, you know, it's great for Camogie, the fact that, you know, the funding and the ladies football, the funding has come in this week as well. You know, that we're finally, you know, said to be as equals as the lads in terms of the funding. Like, so, you know, it was obviously difficult and frustrating for everyone. But, you know, thankfully it's been all cleared up. And I think everyone's looking forward to the weekend now.
Yeah, yourself, how would you have voted?
Look, I to be honest, I didn't think about it because I wasn't playing either personally. Like, I wasn't going to be playing the weekend, and it wasn't, I don't know, I'd be straight, I hadn't even thought about it. I wasn't going to be playing. And as I said, look, we're all just happy to be playing and to be looking forward to the games the weekend now. So thankfully it all cleared up.
Yeah, as you say, you're not playing, so it doesn't impact you specifically, but I guess it's not ideal planning, is it, to not know coming into what is supposed to be the first round of league matches, you know, going into that week not actually knowing if those games are going ahead, everything up in the air. It's difficult enough for managers and coaches and for players to prep for games.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the girls were playing a training match there on Saturday, and like, they didn't know, you know, whether to try set up, like they were going to be setting up the weekend. And now, in fairness, we were preparing as if we were going to be playing a match. So, but you know, you do know by people, like, it is in the back of their heads, like, geez, we might not even have a game next weekend. But, you know, then we trained last night and the news had broke before training. So, you know, there was an extra buzz in training where all the girls are, you know, they're mad to go. And I'm sure every other county team is the same. Like, it's been a while now since they've been a competitive game, like, for everybody. So, you know, everyone's kind of jumping at the bit now.
Yeah. What is the structure for Kilkenny clubs? Will there be league matches going on now during the intercounty season, or will there be no club activity until after the intercounty and will it just be the championship? How will it work?
So as far as I'm aware at the moment, there'll be leagues, like all county leagues for obviously the players that aren't involved with the county teams. And then the minute the county team is knocked out, whether it's July, August, September, that's when our championship will start. So we're not going to wait until every county team is knocked out of the championship, because obviously we want to look after the club players as well, to be fair to them, you know. So look, you know, it has its ups and it has its downs, but I think the great thing is now there's actually a definite plan in place. So everybody, club managers and county managers, can plan now and have, you know, no distractions from here on in.
Yeah. And as you say, there will be matches for club players. So it's not as if, you know,
exactly,
they'll be kicking their heels until, you know, September or October or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They will have matches to play.
Yeah, there is league games, yeah, which it'll be something. I know it's not the same, but it is definitely something for them to be working towards.
Yeah. You mentioned the funding, which obviously was a great news story, just kind of dropped out of nowhere by Minister, Junior Minister for Sport, Jack Chambers, there on radio earlier in the week, that grants for intercounty ladies footballers and Camogie players will go from 400 to 1200 to parity with their male counterparts. That must have been a pleasant surprise early in the week.
Yeah, it was. So it was our WGPA reps put it into their group, and kind of took me a few minutes to register. It's like, Jesus, that's unbelievable. Like, and you know, I have to say, like, the last few years, there has been a huge progression towards women in sport. And, you know, I think it is justified, like, not just in Gaelic games, but, like, you've seen Rachel Blackmore with the horse racing. Like, she doesn't call herself a woman jockey. She calls herself a jockey. And, like, Katie Taylor, she goes out every match. You know, she's unbeaten. Like, and obviously they're professionals. And it does filter down, like, as Camogie players, you know, we'd be good friends with a lot of Kenny hurlers, and they see how much we train. You know, it's the same amount as them, and you know, they'd be in shock, like, that we don't get the same as them either. So it was fantastic. It was really, really good. And you know, obviously there was, you know, the bit of bad press at the start of the week, but I definitely think this good press has outshone this. So, you know, like, it's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course it doesn't this is a personal grant, which is the plan that they'll be pooled to kind of help cover other expenses, such as, because obviously, like, other things like travel and nutrition and etc. They're not yet on parity with the GAA, isn't that right? Am I confused by saying that there was a plan to kind of maybe it's on a county by county basis that these grants will now actually be pooled, so that, and then they'll be kind of, they'll be used for kind of more general expenses as well as for personal expenses.
Yeah, that's true. Like, so like there is grants I think available for like strength and conditioning and physiotherapy, nutrition, then there'll be medical expenses, and then hopefully like the ladies football have come in with the travel expenses as well. So yeah, it's merging like that. So basically every player will be looked after the same.
Yeah, that's great. And not given the GPA all the credit for this by any means, because I know the wheels were in motion for a while, but how do you feel about the merger of the WGPA and the GPA, and do you think it's already paying dividends?
Yeah, for sure. Like even this week alone, it has paid dividends. And you know, it's only a positive thing for Camogie to be merged in with the lads as well. And, you know, we can see the pros to it now. And, you know, hopefully that'll keep the ball moving. You know, as I said, like a lot of the lads themselves can see how much time and effort that female counterparts put in. So, you know, they're as helpful towards us as anyone. Like, so it's definitely a plus to be involved with the GPA. Yeah.
Yeah. It does, obviously, any merger. It brings up the question of the larger merger of Camogie, yeah, LGFA and GA, which the GA isn't a perfect organization. There's lots of things that go wrong there, but like these issues, you know, squabbles about, you know, calendars and championship structures and such, and, you know, dual players, again, not a Kilkenny issue, but an issue for a lot of your closest competitors, they would kind of go away. Do you have much of a view on that, and whether the three organizations together would be better fit for the players themselves?
Yeah, look, I think any Camogie player, any ladies footballer would tell you that they would love to see all of it merge under the GAA, because I think it would benefit everything, you know, from grassroots females to inter-county. Like, so, yeah, it's definitely something that we would love to see. Whether it'll happen, we don't know. Whether it might happen in years to come. It's a hard one to call, really, isn't it? Like, but I would be a fan of it, to be honest. Like, but again, it's something that none of us can control either. Like, it's out of our control, no matter how much we say we would or we wouldn't. So, you know, it's really not anything for us to be focusing on as well. And it's not a focal point with us. But yeah, like it would make sense in my eyes anyway.
Yeah. And then just finally, I'm guessing you're at training sessions, even if you're not quite taking a full part in them. How has the you know, the 4 week run in, how is that manifesting itself? Are you having many soft tissue injuries? Are training sessions been very easy going? Have you had any challenge matches? It's kind of a strange run into the league, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it's only been a month, but in one way I feel like it's been ages, and in another way I feel like it's been really short. But yeah, like obviously the first week the lads were very sensible. You know, the girls have been working really hard since January, as everyone else has, but you know, they didn't want to come in and flake girls, and you know, they're being injured then for a week or two, and then it's the lead up to the first match. So yeah, look, it's been in a controlled manner. The girls came in with a very good base fitness, so basically, you know, just working on a lot of hurling now. As I said, you know, they haven't played now since they played in December. Some teams haven't played since November. So it's a long break without a hurl in hand and trying to get sharp again. So to be honest, it's like 90% of the training is hurling, and, you know, just trying to get girls back in, you know, the bodies right. And, you know, I don't think we've played a full 60 minutes yet. So the weekend is going to be the first full 60. So I'd say there'll be a few broke up bodies on Sunday.
The last 5-10 minutes could be interesting. Yeah.
You cramps.
All right, Katie, look, it's a pleasure catching up with you. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thanks
to speak
for having
to us.
Me.
He hits it. It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses.
Okay, it was great to catch up with Katie Power there on the road to rehab and getting some very interesting views on the fixture situation in Camogie and funding and the possibility, that thorny issue of a merger. So that's it for this week. Thank you very much for joining us. And thank you to Kevin and Shane for Damien for earlier. Don't forget all the other RTE podcasts, sports podcasts are out there. The rugby podcast was recorded on Wednesday. The soccer podcast is out since Monday. And the latest episode of We Become Heroes with Marie Crowe is Marie going through the career of her game on co-host Ruby Walsh, which is a very interesting listen. Ruby not going easy on himself, even in retirement. We have a double weekend of Allianz League this weekend, so there's plenty of action on RTE television and on Saturday and Sunday Sport on RTE Radio 1. And we will have live blogs of the most of the action on Saturday and Sunday on the RTE Sport website and the RTE News app. So we'll keep you informed, whatever platform you want to join us on. Okay, that's it. We will see you again next week. And thanks very much.
Crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road. And that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses.